Welcome back. This will be an odd list. These are the movies I will never see. And as somebody who really enjoys movies, I feel that there are movies I have to see, and then there are movies which I can say, no, I'm never going to watch that movie. The three big ones, at least make sure the three that I have on my list that I'm never going to see, are The English Patient, Avatar, and Crash. Not the Cronenberg version. I've seen Cronenberg's Crash. It's the new one that came out and made Best Picture. Those are the three big movies that I will never see. And I stipulate with Avatar that if James Cameron will come to my front door with the $10 I paid for my ticket for Titanic and give me a verbal and written apology for Titanic, I'll watch a 2D version of Avatar. Since that's never going to happen, I'm never going to watch Avatar. But there were movies that came out in 2012 that, for a variety of reasons, I have not just a disinterest in, an actual disdain for wanting to see. I just do not want to have anything to do with these movies, and for different reasons. This one probably will not go the half hour that the last list actually went, probably because the reasons are superficial. I admit, they're superficial. Some of these movies are going to be included on the list of bad movies for somebody who saw them. I'm not judging these on my perceived concept of their quality, because I didn't see them, so I can't say whether they're good or bad, which is the same thing I can say about the last list, the movies I wanted to see but couldn't. I couldn't really judge them on their quality, but just on what I saw of them. So, starting with 9 through 1, the number 9 movie that I'm never going to see is Midnight in Paris. And there's a lot of people out there that saying this is Woody Allen's sci-fi epic, sort of. I know enough about the story to know that it could technically qualify as a science fiction movie if Woody Allen could pull his head out of his ass for long enough to actually make it science fiction. And if you can't tell, I hate Woody Allen. I really despise just about everything he has made since Casino Royale. And for anybody who doesn't know, yeah, he was in a 1968 version of Casino Royale. That was the last good movie he made, and I'm not kidding. It's got a good cast. I don't have anything really against the cast. I just don't like Woody Allen and his presumption that just, or at least the presumption of critics, that because he made it, it's got to be good. Because let's be honest, he's made some real shit in the last few years, and that's of the movies I have seen of him. So I have seen movies since his Casino Royale, and I've hated each of them since seeing that. So there's no reason why I would like this one. And what really puts this in the realm of me not wanting to see it is that, had it just been him going through and something happening to a guy at midnight in Paris, that would be one thing. The story of him going back in time and meeting these famous writers, wow, that's hubris. Because he is basically, with Woody Allen's normal verb, putting words in the mouths of great writers. Great thinkers. Some of them great thinkers, but arguably many of them are great writers. Why would I believe that he would know how they would act? And it just seemed presumptuous to me. And so I don't want to see it. And it's just so much that I don't want to see it. I don't want to be told I have to see it because it's Woody Allen. And God, why just Woody Allen. That's all you need to know. I don't want to see it because it's got Woody Allen in it. That he wrote it, he directed it. I don't want to see it. Number eight, Atlas Shrugged Part One. Now, I know Atlas Shrugged Part Two is coming out this year, and it's going to be on the list for 2012 movies I'm never going to see, but for 2011, Atlas Shrugged Part One. And this one's more of a philosophical issue. Objectivism is crap. And the idea of the people who like this are those hyper-libertarian, me kind of people, and these are the people who want to shut down, who want to kill Social Security, the Department of Education, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and anything that gives less privileged, lower class people anything that they didn't scrape off the boot, they're off the ground themselves. So this is just a big, well, I wouldn't even say big budget, just a big screen version of let's take everything back, and you know, the only thing, only accomplishments worth getting are the ones you make yourselves. It's an interesting philosophy, but with all philosophies, you have to temper them with practice. Theories are great, practice doesn't actually work the same way. In theory, communism works. In theory, objectivism works. In practice, neither work. Plus, just a personality conflict with with what I have read, and I have read some of Ayn Rand's stuff and read about Ayn Rand. So this one really came down to not just not wanting to see it, but w really questioning why they made this movie. Because it's not going to appeal to low-income voters, because it's basically, as far as what I can tell from Atlas Shrugged, telling them that they're idiots and need to get off their ass because they're lazy. That's not really going to employ the base. I mean, even Tea Partiers are going to have problems with this. But just the whole thing, why did they make this movie? Why are they making a sequel to a movie that barely made any money and was just completely trounced by the critics? And the critics weren't going to like it anyway, and the critics didn't like some of the movies I liked. But just a lot of reasons why you just question why they make this movie and why are they making the second half of it? Just why? That's what it comes down to. Why? Why Atlas Shrugged? Number seven, Hall Pass. This one is a slightly different thing because I don't particularly have anything wrong with most of the people in it. And as far as comedies go, I don't really watch a lot of comedies in the theater anyway. But there are two things about this movie that really make me not want to have anything to do with it. The first one is Jason Sudeikis. I can't express verbally all my problems with this actor. Somebody somewhere thinks he's funny, and they keep hiring him because of that. And I don't think he's funny, so I'm not going to give people money who think he is funny. That's a thing with me. The lead is not funny in it. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Number two, the premise behind it is that these two guys are married, and their wives give them a week where they can go and have an affair, I guess. Or at least what IMDb says is that they can do whatever they want. And of course, that kind of in the trailer implies that they're going to go and have an extramarital affair. I'm not Christian, but I do believe that a marriage is a contract between two people. And having an affair is a breach of contract. That it's also a breach of trust. You can no longer be trusted in anything you say or do. And to make a joke of it, and in this way, the argument against the sanctity of marriage is destroyed. You cannot sanctify marriage anymore if you allow this kind of movie to be made as a comedy. treating an affair seriously is one thing in a movie, and that's fine. I'm not going to go see that either. But to trivialize it and to say, oh, well, it'll all work out in the end, ha, 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 it's sad. And moreover, it's hurtful to the people who are not allowed to get married in many countries, in many states in this country. So that was the bigger reason. I don't like one of the stars. I hate the idea of this movie. I don't think anybody should see it. Now, would I stop other people from seeing it? No. They can go see it if they want. They'll be able to see it and actually objectively say that it's a bad movie. I can only say off the premise it's a bad movie. At least, it would be a bad movie for me to see, and I'm not going to. Number 6. We need to talk about Kevin. Now, this one actually got a pretty, well, fairly decent for a projector review from Film Brain. He seemed to like some of the things they did with it. I'm going to go superficial on this one also. I don't like the story. I don't care about the story. I've seen the trailers. I've seen a few clips of it. I like Tilda Swinton, but I really hate John C. Reilly. I've seen him in about 3 movies. I don't like any of them. Well, I don't like him in any of them. I liked him in, I liked Boogie Nights, and he was in Boogie Nights, but I didn't like Boogie Nights because of him. But he's not really the reason why I don't want to see this movie. Because if it was just him, it wouldn't be on the list of movies I'm never going to see. The story is, from what I can tell, it's trying to figure out whether or not the son's actions are based on nurture or nature. And that's too simplistic in my mind. That people turn out the way they turn out, not because of genetics, and not because of the way they're treated, but from a combination of the two, where one extreme is pulling against the other extreme, and you land somewhere in the middle. From the trailer, it would seem to imply the kid is a dick from the beginning to the end, and no matter what they would have done, he would have turned out bad. That's nature. But it also shows that they were not particularly good parents, or at least it seems to imply that she wasn't, and the father was absent, at least metaphysically absent. He was present, but he wasn't there. And so I couldn't tell from the trailer what it was trying to express, and this really does seriously fall into the realm of the kind of movies I don't want to watch. I just don't want to have that kind of experience in a movie where I don't necessarily want there to be a happy ending or a sad ending. I want there to be an ending. And it doesn't seem like there's going to be an ending, because it's always going to be that question of what was it trying to say to me? And as this list is going to be very superficial. It's the reason why I don't want to watch it. But really, it's not only that I don't want to watch this thing, is I don't want to know that this movie is there, because I brings me back to the Atlas Shrugged. Why did they make this movie? Was there a compelling reason to want to go out and create this? Did they need this? I mean, the novel was there, and if people wanted to read the novel, are they going to get more out of the movie than they're going to get out of the novel? It's doubtful, because every adaptation lessens the subject matter. As great as The Lord of the Rings was, it was less than the book. I mean, it was visually better than the book, because the book never had a really good illustrator once they rejected Marie Sendak. But in the end, a lot was left on the cutting room floor, and a lot of this story would have been left out of the screenplay, so it would have been less than the original. Why not just read the book? I like adaptations, but you should read the book first and then watch the adapted movie. So this is a combination of, well, there's one star I really didn't like, and then the story didn't pull me. And why did they make it? So As I said, this isn't movies that I'm telling people not to go out and watch. These are movies that I'm never going to watch and kind of why. Number five, Melancholia. This is probably the most superficial reason why I'm not going to watch a movie. Lars von Trier. That's all I'm going to say. Lars von Trier. Number four, The Tree of Life. This one actually kind of initially made me want to see it, but then it's got Sean Penn in it. And if you see, there's always going to be one actor in these movies that kind of tell me, don't watch this, because if he's in it, it's going to be pretentious. And if Sean Penn's in a movie and it's not, and, you know, girl doesn't take her top off after getting out of a pool, it's going to be a pretentious piece of shit. Look it up. I'm not kidding. Anything he's made in the last 10 years is just crap. And anybody says differently is selling you something. But there's more to it. People who have seen this movie either really like it or really hate it, and for the same reasons. I've heard that Brad Pitt is amazing in it. Okay, I like Brad Pitt in a lot of movies. I'm still not going to watch this movie. It's a really long movie. It's got, as far as I've heard, no real plot. And the descriptions I've seen, both from a person who hated it and a person who liked it, they describe this, they're giving the same description, so it's not like the person who hated it is reading something else into it than the person who liked it. And that's good for a movie, but it's not for a movie I want to see. And I've never liked Terrence Malick's work. So there's a lot going against this thing. A really long runtime. Sean Penn. Terrence Malick. Lot running against it. So, like I said, this is a very superficial list, and I just don't want to have anything. I don't want to watch these movies. Because they're going to. If I watch these movies, my dad, who is more of a drama buff than I am, is going to ask me what I think of it, and I'm going to have to tell him, and it'll be a 5-hour argument. So it'll be as bad as when I told him I didn't like Citizen Kane or Stagecoach. So I'm going to skip that one, and he has skipped it too, so it's not that bad. That takes us to number three, The Help. I don't need to see another movie in my life where rich white people are apologizing for slavery. It was bad. I know it was bad. I don't condone it. I don't condone racism. I don't need to see a movie to tell me racism was bad. I have seen movies that have told me racism is bad, but I didn't need to see a movie telling me racism is bad. And everything about this movie, the trailer, the synopsis, is that you don't want to see it. That it's saying, boy and horse, you don't want to see this movie. Don't go and see it. And the reason why this is so high on this list is not necessarily because of the movie. I could have gotten past my life without even hearing about this movie, and then maybe have seen it on Netflix if it came around. Just like saying, hey, what's that? I like Emma Stone. Let me take a look at this. Not going to happen now. My dad has seen this movie 5 times. He has tried to get me to see it 5 times. I read the synopsis and said no, and he didn't let up. I don't understand, after seeing this movie, why he would want me to see it. At its peak, it's chick flick, which I watch a lot of romantic comedies, yes, but I don't watch them in the theater. I watch them on Netflix. When I'm doing something else, and not a single one of them have I really enjoyed, when the entire cast was while I'm looking at this, there isn't a male name until you get to like the 10th or 11th person on the list. And I don't even like half of these actresses. I like Emma Stone and Bryce Dallas Howard, but who's Viola Davis? Octavia Spencer? Don't know. I know Allison Janney, but this is not a movie for me. It wasn't written for me. I'm just not gonna see it. And the reason it's so high on the list is because I keep getting pestered to see it. And why would I want to be pestered to see a movie that's clearly not written for me and is going to tell me, oh, the civil rights movement was a long time coming? It was. They should have given full voting rights, full citizenship to African Americans in 1776. We should have. We didn't. And we're going to be apologizing for that for the rest of time and not terribly against doing that. I, however, know that slavery was bad. I know the civil rights movement had to happen. I wish it had happened sooner. It deserved to happen sooner. I don't need to see a movie about it. Especially since it appears to me to just be a slightly more updated version of Gone with the Wind. Whoop-de-doo. Don't need to see that. Number two, Jack and Jill. If I have to go into the myriad of reasons why I am never going to see Jack and Jill, then I don't want whoever asked me to do that to ever listen to one of my recordings or to read my blog, because that's fairly obvious. And that's not to say that I don't like Adam Sandler, because he was really good in Funny People. And he was marginally good in Bedtime Stories. And some of his older movies are actually funny. But what told him he should dress in drag and release a full movie of it is far beyond my comprehension. I just don't understand why he would do that. And why did Katie Holmes agree to be in it? I know why Al Pacino agreed to be in it, because he's an idiot, but there's just so many reasons to look at this script and say, why, God, why? Why have you done this to me? Why have you forsaken me? And yet he still made it. Not only that, he has a writing credit on it. That is even more frightening. But just, it looks bad. The trailer was horrible, and Adam Sandler is not really funny anymore. And he is good in a dramatic role. He's not really all that great in a funny role anymore. And that brings me to the number one slot. And this is actually two movies. And they are two movies for the exact same reason. They are Anonymous and The Conspirator. Anonymous is a movie basically running on the premise that Shakespeare didn't write his plays. Enough said, don't have to say anymore. That was a fucking stupid idea. And go and watch Owen Citizen's vlog about it, and you can get a more detailed reason why it was stupid. I only have to say that Shakespeare did write his plays, you fucking retards. Next one, I'm going to go into a little more detail on The Conspirator. Now, this one landed at number one along with this Anonymous because it's basically revisionist history. The Conspirator is trying to prove to somebody, for some reason, I don't understand why, that Mary Surratt was not a co-conspirator in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. The problem with that is that history pretty much bears out that even with the questionable trial that she got, and there are some legal questions as to that, the legal aspect of it, there are no questions regarding whether or not she actually was a co-conspirator in the assassination. She boarded the conspirators. She collected supplies for them. She aided them. Her children were part of the conspiracy, properly convicted part of the conspiracy. It's just. This doesn't make any sense as to why someone, Robert Redford of all people, thought it was necessary to write this. And there are so many better stories to write. And you go through it, and I'm sure if you watch it, you'll see that Edwin Stanton was a bad guy. Yeah, he was a dick. He was the Secretary of War and pretty much ran the country after Lincoln was assassinated for a while. I mean, no one really questions that, but to be honest, she was guilty. There has been no question about her guilt since 1865. There's been a couple of books, none of which have ever been taken seriously. If you want to really look at it and question the legal aspects of her trial, then yes, there are some questions to how it was conducted and whether or not she was given a fair trial. However, it is highly unlikely that anybody connected to the conspiracy would have been given a completely fair trial in 1865. So that's a completely different argument. The truth is, she was guilty. She, as I said, she boarded the conspirators, she aided them, she supplied them, her family took part in it. She was guilty. And to imply that she, the old argument is that she didn't know what they were doing it in her house. They were planning the conspiracy in her house. While she was present. Now, you could say, well, she didn't want to turn in her son. That's great. Still, you either are a conspirator or you're not. There is no side. Yeah, it sucks that that her son brought her into that and brought those people into her home, but same time, she didn't turn them in, she didn't turn him out. She did nothing to stop the assassination. That does make her an accessory before the fact. She helped before it happened, so she was a co-conspirator. And those are my nine-ish movies of 2007 that I 2012 that I will never see. Never gonna watch them. No reason, no interest. They're superficial, so I can't say if they're good or bad or whatever. I can just tell you that of those 10 movies, two of them are just stupid, and the rest of them are just why? Why would you make that movie?